Hello and welcome to the Bladed Tech Show. My name is Austin Belzer and with me is Chris Roberto, aka Heezy.
What up, internet? And,
hey! So, anyways, this is the Bladed Tech Show, like I just said. So, a little housekeeping before we get into everything. I am a part of Proven Gamer, like I said last week. Hopefully you've heard it by now. Hopefully. Proven Gamer does such things as, like, articles. Like, I'm writing a piece on Heroes of the Storm. It's got a release date, which we'll talk about, I think, in here. Yeah. They got podcasts other than ours, like Trophy Whores. They talk about PlayStation. They, at the beginning, they state their trophy levels, you know, like trophy count, you know, that kind of PlayStation stuff that I'm not too familiar with. Press X to Win. It's also a PlayStation podcast, but they sometimes talk about PC and things like that. And if you want to join, I don't know how current this is, but we're looking for an editor, reviewer, podcast host, video editor, and I think Heezy, your social media manager now?
Well, we're going to look into it. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that, but I mean, I certainly wouldn't turn it down.
Well, anyways, just email admin, admin, at provengamer.com, and I've actually got some good news on how to, at the end of the show, about how else you can contact us other than just saying bladedtech at provengamer.com. Apparently they've got a voicemail system set up. So anyways, we'll talk about that later. We apologize for last week and the syncing issues. We were using something I didn't really know about, a Skype recorder, which records, just to explain, it records the entire call. So from the do-do-do-do-do-do, like that, to the end of the call where it's like boo-doo. And we had some internet issues, I guess, where it was like 5 seconds off, and it was the most irritating. And it was, I spent 3 hours on it on, I think, Saturday. But it's up. if you can like just listen to it, I guess.
If you can anticipate the question before after the answer.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, we really apologize. We're doing it differently this week. We're synced up, and we're recording perfectly. I've got Audacity open in one window, which is a program that I use to record stuff that I've always used to record. So I know what I'm doing, kind of. I know Heezy, you're not as familiar, but it's pretty easy. You just record and you see the levels, and then
yeah, it looks pretty simple.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, all I had to do to record was press R.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty damn simple.
Pretty friggin' simple.
Oh, you don't have to say friggin', you can say fucking.
Yeah, I'm from New England. It just kind of sneaks in there every now and then.
It's pretty friggin' simple. So, I peaked there. Anyways, I'll have to fix that. Anyways, so some non-gaming stuff. A lot of trailers came out this week.
A lot.
Have you watched any of them? Because I don't want to...
I watched pretty much all of them. Even though I'm not into Star Wars, I did watch it because everyone talking about it, you really just gotta kind of have to look into it. I don't like Star Wars, as we mentioned last week, you may or may not know. But with this one, I might try to jump in and see.
Yeah, so the trailers we're mentioning are Fantastic Four. It got its second, I guess, teaser trailer? I don't know what you call that.
I think, this is the full trailer, and this is actually one that made me excited.
I am not excited for Fantastic Four in any capacity.
I wasn't.
And I'll mention this in the Batman vs. Superman doc, but the trailers are Fantastic Four, Star Wars The Force Awakens, which, Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. And Fantastic Four, I don't like Doom and Gloom. I don't. I actually will defend Fantastic Four and Rise of the Silver Surfer till the day I die.
Oh, Lord.
Hold on.
No, I'll give it to you. If you like it, you like it.
Because the reason why I liked it is because it captured at least the soul of what Fantastic Four is. It didn't have the greatest story, I will admit that.
Yeah.
But it knew what it was.
That's
Fantastic
true.
Fantastic Four, it's got the guy from House of Cards, Freddy, in it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he's cool. I'll watch a movie with just a black screen, and I really do think he's the next Morgan Freeman with that voice. And I just dropped my pencil. Anyways, let's see. I just don't like doom and gloom. I really don't.
I do. I really do. And honestly, I know Fantastic Four is the kind of hokey, those are the type of superheroes they are. Hey, let's get Reed Richards to, you know, turn into whatever we need for our story. Let's get him into Spider-Man, do whatever he's got to do type situation. With that said, I think with the way comic book movies are now, it didn't work with Fantastic Four originally. Clearly, because they moved on pretty quickly. They tried a sequel, and that didn't work again. But I think this one, with the way everything's going, I think you'll get more goofy. If once you watch the movie, you'll get more goofy in a sequel.
Right. I really hope they do.
I don't see that they don't.
Because if they don't get goofy, I mean, there's even some jokes here where I'm just like, okay, yeah, sure, he can stretch. I still can't figure out why Sue Storm is white and Johnny Storm are black. I mean, I don't hate the idea that Johnny Storm is black. I don't hate the idea. I just hate who this new Johnny Storm is. I don't, and it's based off Ultimate Fantastic Four. And you'll know I'm a big comic book nerd. And I hate with a capital H the Ultimate Universe, unless it's Ultimate Spider-Man. Because Ultimate Spider-Man was more fantastical. It was more, the Ultimate Universe was more fun. This is not fun. Fantastic Four, for all the crap that it's given, it's still new. Hey, we need to be funny. We need to have comic relief every now and again. Now, it did kind of overplay that some of the time. But they were enjoyable, at least. When I was watching this trailer, I was like, okay, the thing, okay? Where's Chiklis? I want him back. I want him back. I don't want some supermodel playing the thing.
He's too old now, man. He can't be with these kids. They're starting wicked young. They can't have him back. Maybe, you know what? Maybe he'll make a cameo no one knows about. He'll just be there in a lab coat.
Yeah, because, or at least, who's the guy from Breaking Bad? The guy who played Walt's brother-in-law or something.
I have no idea.
The cop. Oh, wait, you haven't
watched Breaking Bad. I don't know. I wish I could help you.
I'll look it up later. Woo. I probably should have done vocal warm-ups. Anyways, yeah, I just don't like doom and gloom. I'll restate it when I get into Batman vs. Superman, but so Star Wars, the ones we're actually a little bit more excited about.
Yeah.
We didn't kind of take into effect that Celebration was happening, and it's something that kind of snuck up on me. But the important thing is, and we'll just go over this briefly, is I felt like a kid again. I felt like, and however hokey this may seem, there was a new hope that this might be good again, that it wouldn't be Phantom Menace, that it wouldn't be, well, I'll defend Attack of the Clones, it wouldn't be Revenge of the Sith, because Attack of the Clones, like we said last week, is actually pretty good.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not great either, don't get me wrong, but it's not horrible.
Yeah, so I think that's all we should cover, because we really kind of already talked about it last week.
Yeah. I will say this, though, for Star Wars. What you just said about Celebration is not necessarily wrong, and that's another reason why I started to look a little bit more into it than I normally would have. It's because everyone is so excited that it felt like I was missing out if I wasn't paying attention, even just a little bit. So I might look into this a little bit further. I might sit down and watch the 6 original movies with my girlfriend who has never seen them.
Well, and what's funny is, and this is the last point before we move on to Batman v Superman, which, by the way, screw that title.
Yeah.
Because you remember the reasoning behind that, right?
I don't know the reasoning why. Why is that?
It was like in legal grievances.
Really?
Like, yeah, you wanted to make it more legal sounding. And I'm like, shut up, Zack Snyder.
That's kind of weird.
That's just pretentious as all daylight. So, let's see. The important thing is Star Wars makes me feel like a kid again, and that's good. But I do think nostalgia is kind of a bad thing. Especially, segue, in the case of Batman vs. Superman. Because Batman vs. Superman, if you don't know, is taking a lot of thematical notes from The Dark Knight Returns, which is a comic by the great, great, great Frank Miller back in the 1980s, I want to say.
I think it was the early 80s, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a fact checker. We don't have a third person who's just on a laptop. Just, oh, yeah, it came out in 1985. It probably didn't. It most likely didn't come out in the 80s. It was probably more like 60s, 70s or something like that. Anyways, so the Batman vs. Superman trailer, it like I said with Fantastic Four, it's all doom and gloom. For me, this is actually my problem, and I probably won't even see any of the DC Cinematic Universe movies because of it. It's too doomy and gloomy. I want to see a whole... And bad movie again, but Superman Returns, that knew what it was. It was a fucking Superman movie. Because
for better or for worse.
Because you see that shot of you see all these shots in the Man of Steel trailers and the Batman vs. Superman trailer of him just looking like a god. Superman just looking like a god. And I'm just like, I get it. I get it, Zack Snyder. You don't have to be so fucking heavy-handed. And there's this shot. Oh, that peaked my microphone. Probably shouldn't clap in front of a microphone. Anyways, there's one point in the trailer where they even say false god, just painted in big, bold red letters on a Superman statue, and they've got the Injustice Gods Among Us. Have you played it?
I have, yes.
Where they've got, like, the Superman symbol, and I actually had to go back and watch it because somebody was talking about it, where they got the Superman symbols. So it's more like Injustice than it is Dark Knight Returns in that respect to Superman. And I hope it doesn't go the same way because I've already played Gods Among Us and I don't need to play it.
I think they'll take things from that. I mean, it was a success enough for WB to realize they're going to take stuff from that.
Yeah, and Mortal Kombat took stuff from that, which we'll talk about later. Actually, soonish. On your recommendation, I've been watching Daredevil Season 1,
mm-hmm.
Specifically episodes 4 through 6, because, you know, how I said last week, I just really want to do it 3 at a time,
yeah.
And because if I don't have 3 hours, I'm not watching Daredevil. I'm not. I don't want to watch it 1.5 hours of Daredevil. I want to watch 3 hours in one sitting.
And a lot of the episodes are like 57 minutes long, mm-hmm. So they give you a good...
There's even one that's like 48 minutes.
Yeah,
like they
at the beginning they're kind of a little bit shorter, but then they stretch them out at the end.
Yeah. So the arc for this is kind of Kingpin, what he's doing, and like I said last week, we're not going to go over too much of this. I don't like Kingpin until the fourth episode when he finally reveals, this is who I am. This is Kingpin. Where he does this thing where he kind of rubs his, what do you call them? Pins? Like the things you put on a suit?
Yeah. The, oh my god, what are they?
They're
for the sleeves. For the wrists.
They're for the sleeves.
The cuffs.
The cufflinks.
Yeah, the cufflinks.
Yeah, thank you. Then I've been on a binge watch for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I don't have cable, so I've kind of been watching on the app, the Watch ABC app, so I have to verify to watch the recent episode. So I'm kind of waiting 2 weeks, well, a week for each episode. So it's 2 weeks in between episodes, yeah. Kind of. So I've watched season 2, episode 14 through 16. It's all right. But when Deathlok came back, that's highlight. Well, ooh, shit. I spoiled. Anyways, well, a major character from season 1 comes back. Well, honestly, if you're not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, I say fuck it. Let's spoil it.
Yeah, honestly, I think we have to. I mean, at this point, if you're not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think you're doing yourself a disservice. Whether you think it's mind-boggling and great or just okay, it is worth your time, because if you're getting into Marvel movies whatsoever, there's no point in not watching this, because things that are happening there affect here and vice versa. And these next three episodes, starting with last night's, which I know you haven't seen, so I won't spoil anything, but I'll just say this. That final scene, they're setting shit up. But if you're not watching it, and you're into the movies, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, and like we said last week, this one actually isn't so much Walking Dead effect, where it's like, oh, Cinematic Universe, I've got to watch all of them. You don't have to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to understand.
You don't have to watch it to understand, that's correct. But, again, I think you're doing yourself a disservice by not doing it.
Right, and I actually kind of wish they would set up some things for Age of Ultron, maybe Ant-Man, but...
They do. That's the thing. These next three episodes, I think what's starting last night, they're setting shit up for Ultron. And Ultron's going to affect this.
Well, I'll see it next week.
Yeah, you've got time to wait.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that next week, and then you'll be like, oh, you should have seen this shit. And I was like, unless I pirate it, I'm not going to be able to see it legally. Well, you can argue about pirate versus, yeah, you can argue that already. Yeah. Then I've been watching Arrow. Arrow's really bad still. It's like, a lot of things happen in that. I don't want to spoil this, because it's actually a lot of people's, what they're looking forward to during the weeks. And I haven't even seen episode 20, which is premiering tonight. Which, actually, good job on you, CW, because you make it available the day after. I don't have to verify to watch that.
Yeah, that's smart. They know. They know the deal.
Yeah. But Arrow, it's still continuing that thread of, hey, Rachel Ghoul, blah, blah, blah. All I'll say is two major characters are going to be leaving at least one major character is leaving the show that you know from season 2. All I'll say is he is dressed in red. That's all I'll say.
Hint.
And I won't say how he leaves, because it's more a little bit more recent than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because not 2 weeks away. And I think that should be our capita. Like, if it's 2 weeks away, yeah, we'll spoil it. If it's 1 week away, no, we're not gonna touch that with a 30-yard long stick or whatever. Then The Flash, still really good. Really good. The All-Star team up was a little bit hokey. You got Ray Palmer with, like, hey, I'm Adam. Hey, I used to be Superman, and I'm doing superhero things again.
I really like Brandon Routh. I'm glad he's back in something.
Yeah, I'm glad DC gave him a second chance, however small this is.
Well, he's getting a spinoff, isn't he?
I hope not.
I'm pretty sure the Atom's getting a spinoff.
Yeah, I don't follow spinoffs, because, honestly, spinoffs for me are always the Scrub Season 9, if you will.
Well, that's a whole different can of worms right there.
Because with spinoffs, you have to be very delicate, you know? You have to be like, alright, we realize this happened. Now, let's see this happen. Like, with The Flash, that kind of had its own backdoor pilot where he was already in the show. Excuse me for my burping. Kind of had bacon a while ago, and that probably wasn't the best choice. But yeah, The Flash, season 1, episode 18, it's got Adam in it. I mean, The Flash is a good spinoff. It's how you do a spinoff. It's like, hey, yeah, he was in Arrow, but now he's in his own show, and he's killing it. I still think that it was a little hasty for DC to announce their plans for the cinematic universe with The Flash. The day that The Flash premiered on CW.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the show that you're currently putting out.
Yeah, give Grant Gustin a chance. He's, like, the best Flash. I get why they're doing it. Diversity. Because, I don't know if you know this, but the actor that's going to be playing The Flash is gay.
Didn't know.
And he's always played gay characters. Always. And I don't want... The same thing I have with Johnny Storm. I don't want you to change the characters just to change the character.
I completely agree. 100%.
Because at least with Black Johnny Storm, it's like, okay, that's something new. There's never been a Black Johnny Storm. We need that. But, God damn it, DC. Just chillax. Give Grant Gustin his day.
Yeah, the issue I think is you're taking a character that's already what he is and you're changing him. It's not like you're bringing in somebody and saying, okay, this character's whatever. You're taking an established character and making him completely different.
Yeah, and I feel kind of the DC Cinematic Universe, which I mentioned in Batman vs. Superman, it's kind of the antithesis of Marvel, and when you read the comics, you really do not get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, DC is dark, but they are at least, like, Batman has his moments where he's like, hey, I'm a fucking bat, I'm portraying a bat. It's fucking stupid, but I do it.
It's my backstory, deal with it.
Yeah, boo-hoo, my parents died. So, now we move on to your part.
Well, actually, I want to bring up one quick thing. Now, since we're on the topic of spinoffs, they announced who's going to be in the spinoff for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Do you want to hear who it is?
I know who it is, so let me just add it.
Okay.
Here. AOS spinoff. All right, you can keep talking.
All right, so basically, if you're following the show, and if you're not, shame on you, I say. But it's going to be Bobby and Hunter. So Mockingbird and Hunter.
I actually really like that.
I do too. I would love them to stay on S.H.I.E.L.D., but at the same time, who says they can't just show up on an episode and help out?
Although that is kind of a little foreboding, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of who survives and who doesn't.
Yeah, that's true, because I don't think everyone's going to survive the end of the season, but... You know, it is what it is. That's all I'll say about that, because there's really not much else. I think an episode this season is going to be kind of their pilot to see if it actually goes forward. I hope it does. Like I said, I want them to, as much TV cinematic universe as much as they can. And also, Daredevil Season 2 was announced late yesterday, so.
Yeah, actually, we'll talk about that next.
Okay.
So, Daredevil. I'll just put DD. S2. So, I'm actually going to go in a little bit more depth on the spinoff. I really like this decision. Now, with Adam, a Black Canary, and them getting their spinoff, I'm like, oh, okay, sure, they're fine. It's fine. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
You're walking on it.
I did say the pun night is the name of the episode, hopefully. I'm kind of setting up a trilogy of episodes where it's just... puns on the Batman Nolan franchise. But yeah, I really, really like this news because, I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just, it's good. But put Bobby and Hunter in their own show? Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the Flash material. I'll just say it right then and there. It's going to be as good as the Flash. If it gets it just right.
Yeah, their chemistry is good. They're good on S.H.I.E.L.D. by themselves. I don't see how it would fail.
Yeah, and the whole prospect of this real S.H.I.E.L.D., which we discussed last week, is probably Strike.
Well, that's the Hunter was in Strike apparently. So I don't know.
Has it been revealed?
I don't know if it's been necessarily revealed specifically, but they're dropping hints. Mm. So I think that it may not be Strike, but it may be at the same time. I don't know. It's difficult.
Right. And the reason why I think it's Strike is because that kind of makes the most sense. I mean, that's the only one they've really set up. Especially in Winter Soldier, which...
Yes.
Fuck it, we're gonna spoil Winter Soldier.
It's been a year. Come on, guys.
It's been a year. What are you doing? If you're watching the cinematic universe, what are you doing?
Why did you miss out the best one last year?
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy, come on.
I don't know. I know that's part of the same universe, but is it really? Until they start doing stuff that's tied... Until next year, I don't think I care enough.
I kind of see Guardians of the Galaxy as a cosmic universe.
Yes.
I think Inhumans will be.
Yes.
And we'll
Which is what S.H.I.E.L.D. is literally doing. So again, if you care about the Inhumans and you're not watching S.H.I.E.L.D., it's baffling to me. Because they're literally doing the Inhumans right now.
Oh, and I forgot to talk about that. Because you brought up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans in the same breath. And I'm like, I forgot that they kind of did a Hulk Easter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like...
They mentioned him last night's episode as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't clap. It messes with my microphone.
They mentioned the Hulk last night too, so...
Golf clap. I hope that picked up on the microphone.
I heard it.
Okay. But, yeah, I just... Bravo to you, ABC. And I don't know if you knew this, but this kind of goes into our next topic with Daredevil. ABC also produces that show. Mm-hmm. They produce all the Marvel shows that are on any type of TV. It's always ABC Studios.
Because it's always Disney. Disney owns everything.
Yeah, and I was like, all right. Even though you made a little bit of a goof with that show called Forever with former Fantastic Mr. Fantastic, I don't even know why you green light that. It's just like, whatever. Anyways, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I even got some pop-ups during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like, hey, watch American Crime on ABC. We don't need The Wire again, ABC. We don't need The Wire.
We've got it.
So, Daredevil Season 2, I'm really excited for this, even though I haven't even finished Season 1.
You'll be more excited once you finish, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'll probably be more excited, because I saw... The Daredevil suit? Oh my god. Oh. Like, that's how... I'm not too big of a fan with the armored look, but I've been hearing what I wanted to be true for a long time. Miles Morales might be Spider-Man in Daredevil Season 2.
Really? You heard that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that at all.
And they even allude to it in Season 1. Like, I just heard from Morales.
Well, Morales is a kid, though.
Yeah. And he's Spider-Man right now.
I don't know. They're doing Peter Parker for the movies, so I don't know.
You know, people brought that up to me that, oh, Kevin Feige said it's Peter Parker. You know Kevin Feige lies. You know he lies. So I highly, highly doubt we're going back to high school with these 14, 15-year-old actors.
Oh, I hope
playing Peter Parker.
You gotta have Peter Parker. You cannot do Miles without Peter. Miles doesn't make sense without Peter.
I have my own thoughts about how that should go. Because, okay, so Daredevil's coming out in 2016, right?
Yeah.
Let me look up the Marvel Cinematic Universe slate. So
it's 2017 for Spider-Man.
Well, right. And isn't Civil War like 2016?
Civil War's next year, yeah.
So you could have, here's my theory, you could have Peter Parker Spider-Man die in Civil War, as he did in Civil War, or at least reveal his identity.
He revealed it, yeah.
Yeah, and then have somebody snipe him.
Captain America died in Civil War.
Yeah, and let's be honest, you're not killing Chris Evans.
Well, that's the thing. People thought they were because he didn't want to stick around. But now he said he's willing to stick around.
Kind of like Wolverine?
Yes, exactly.
Anyways, so I see here you've been reading Mortal Kombat X prequel comics?
Yes.
Which we talked about last week.
I finished them all.
Oh, they're done?
Well, I finished up to what they're at. Okay. Issue 17 is next week, but I finished up to 16. I gotta tell you, I'm into them. They are not... superb, don't get me wrong, they're not superb. They're not flawless victories, as they say. But
Oh my god, but puns.
They're hitting me with what I need from those comics. Backstory that jumps around. You're not quite sure, because if you played the game story mode, which I played a little bit, it doesn't necessarily tell you where they fit, and you're kind of trying to piece it together, but they're dropping in characters from the old 3D games, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, all that, mm-hmm. and they're either playing huge roles, or they're just showing up, and they're killing them off.
Right.
And this is canon. So, unfortunately, certain characters aren't coming back, which sucks because I love them all, but they're getting their due, at least, in the comics.
Sorry I'm a little blurry here. I know you guys can't see it, but we're on webcam chat on Skype, too, so... Anyways, I'm listening. I hope you know that.
Yes.
But I've only read the first three. It's all right. I'm not too into Mortal Kombat, so I'm
into Mortal Kombat. So this is for me. This is definitely hitting me where I want it to hit.
I'm probably gonna get Mortal Kombat X at some point. Well, actually, probably after Arkham Knight comes out, I'll probably be on a fighting game kick then, because it's funny. The only reason I really bought Shadow of Mordor is one, I wanted to review it. Two, Batman Arkham style combat. And I know this doesn't have Mortal Kombat X, and I know we're talking about Mortal Kombat X the game, but it's related, so please, shut up. Mortal Kombat X has a very similar fighting style for me, because I played Injustice Gods Among Us, and you said last week that it kind of picks up on some stuff like
completely.
Background,
completely.
Interaction.
Yeah, I think Marvel... not Marvel, NetherRealm, when WB said, listen, we want you to make a fighting game for DC, they said, okay, we'll do that, and then we'll take what we did with Mortal Kombat 9, we'll make it better, and we'll take what we did with Injustice and make it better for 10.
Right.
X, and they did.
And I really hope Injustice 2 comes out sometime.
Oh, they're doing it. You know they're doing it.
Like, I actually... we probably should have talked about this when we were talking about Batman vs. Superman, but, my phone buzzed. That's new. I would kill to see a Batman vs. Superman game, but not a movie. I would love to see a fighting style game like that. Fighting and just kind of game. Anyways, Mortal Kombat X, pretty cool comics. I haven't read a lot of them. I've only read three. But what I've read, I was like, this isn't really for me, since I haven't really played Mortal Kombat since the GameCube days.
Yeah, if you're not into the story of Mortal Kombat, it's kind of not really for you. I mean, you can certainly enjoy it, but it's for people like me who have been invested in this story for 20 years. They really try to flesh it out, because they're not going the same route. They rebooted with 9, so they're really trying to bring every character in, as far as I can tell. Most of the characters, and really kind of pay off things that they didn't necessarily pay off with the new games, because, you know, they went a different direction, but they're kind of going in the same direction. It's weird. You have to be into it to understand it. I will say this, because I don't want to get too long on it. I don't like how much Scorpion right. there is. There's just too much Scorpion.
I just feel like they're kind of putting Scorpion up on a pedestal, because he was also in Injustice.
Yeah, that's unfortunately the creator's favorite character. So there's too much Scorpion, Sub-Zero. These people died and now they're back to life. It's just there's just too many dying and coming back to life nonsense. I'll leave it at that.
Right. So now to close out non-gaming stuff, you're talking iZombie Season 1.
Yes.
Now, I've seen some trailers of this. I know what it is. So, kind of explain to me why you recommend it and why I should binge watch this or whatever.
Well, I didn't watch last night's episode, so I'm only up until the episode before that. It's not great, but it definitely is good. It's basically Veronica Mars meets kind of True Calling, kind of. I don't know. It's difficult to really. It has so much DNA in different areas and different shows, because things like. The people who worked on those shows work on this, but It's a girl who gets attacked at a party, who's got her whole life ahead of her, you know, she's getting married, she's gonna be a doctor, and she gets attacked, she gets invited out to a party, and she's like, oh, I don't like parties, I'm not going to do that, and her friend or boyfriend, I forget which, basically just says, well, I mean, you never really go out, you might as well do this, so she goes out to this party on a boat, and then, you know, this drug that was created turns people into zombies, and she gets scratched, so she dies and becomes a zombie. And she assumes she's the only one, but she's not, and she's now starting to learn it. And she has to eat brains to survive, so she now works in a morgue where she can now get her brains when she needs to, but when she eats them, she can get memories and powers based off of that person. Mm-hmm. So she starts solving the crimes of these dead people.
Okay. I'll watch it, because...
It's based off a comic, of course, yeah, like everything else.
I think it's an IDW joint?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure. I never read the comics.
Actually, I just remembered. Anything that is comic-based, that's DC. So, because they can't really put IDW on screen. That's why we haven't seen a Judge Dredd 2, because it costs too much money to license that stuff out again.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's move on to what we're playing. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Transition music. I'll probably have it sometime. So first one is me, and we'll kind of alternate towards this, because I felt like I'm doing kind of most of the talking when it comes to this stuff, because I kind of just, every week I just kind of play a random Steam game, and I talk about it, my first impressions of it. So Hearthstone, and then we're going to go to Mortal Kombat X. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
So Hearthstone, I've played it about 3 times now. On 3 different devices. So, it's basically a card battling game. You can play on your PC, your iPad, your Android tablet, and pretty much anywhere you are except for any Xbox or PlayStation. Or, yeah, you can't play it on consoles, which, honestly, you wouldn't want to play.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Because it's very touch-based, and there's not a lot of button input on it. You just click and drag, click and drag. There's a lot of dragging, and I don't feel... Like I'll say with something like Wasteland 2, which is coming to Xbox and PlayStation later this year, I don't like... Unless it's on the PS4 touchpad, which I actually am quite interested in how that works, I would actually much rather have a PS4 touchpad kind of drag that. I'd rather see that Hearthstone become a PS4 exclusive. But anyways, I'm derailing myself. And my mouth is full of saliva, so... that's gross. One major complaint I have about this game is I've had to play the tutorial each time I boot it up. No matter... Not each time I boot it up. Every time I install the game. And... God damn it. Developers, why do you do this? I don't want to play your tutorial. Because technically the tutorial phase lasts... really long in these types of games, because they're like, oh, we'll baby step you, because there's these things called, there's 3 facets of what you're doing in the game. There's the play session where you just kind of play against computers, and rank up, you level up, but it really doesn't do anything. You get new packs and all that, basically everything you expect in a card battler, and then there's the second one where you just kind of face off against people, but you're still kind of practicing. And then the arena, which is you facing off against real people. This is ranked. This is your chance to show what you have, basically. And I actually really enjoy Hearthstone, but I don't want to play the tutorial each and every time. I want to install it on my... I had it on my phone, and I would play it every night while I was listening to the podcast, but, like this one, but it just kind of, like last night I uninstalled it because I was like, it feels a little unbalanced to me still. I played it on PC when it was still in beta, and it's just still really, really unbalanced in the solo arena. It's just really out of whack in that sense. So I don't know if you've played it.
I've downloaded it on my iPad, but I never played it. I'm more of a Pokemon card game kind of guy, and I sparingly play that. But I'll tell you this: you're gonna have to play that tutorial again when they port it to PS4.
I would actually, like I said, I would love to see this on PS4 or anything where you have to drag, because that actually would have to use the touchpad in a meaningful way. Because
finally,
Infamous Second Son, that was an ingenious use. I just wish they would use that touchpad a lot more, you know? And I was actually looking forward to when Diablo 3 got announced for PS4 and Xbox One to see, oh hey, maybe you can draw on the map where you want to go and plan an attack more like a real-time strategy game. But no, they just used, it's a controller, it does things, it doesn't have a touchpad. What? We gotta make the same version for the same it's 900p on Xbox One. Okay, whatever.
It all looks good on my TV, I don't care.
Yeah, it's just like, just make it so that when I do play on PS4, which I'll probably be playing soon, hopefully, fingers crossed, if I get the job. I'm going to be buying a lot of shit, which I'll share with you. So that maybe will be PSN friends, Steam friends, whatever. But anyways, I'm derailing myself. Let's talk about Mortal Kombat X.
All right, yeah, so I played a little bit of the story mode. I'm not going to spoil anything because story mode, it's just new. But I'll tell you this. This is why Mortal Kombat is so good, especially to me. I'm all about story in games, and finally, a fighting game. Mortal Kombat always had story, but the story did not start getting to be super important until the 3D ones that came out. And now, with the reboot of 9, they made a story mode that's not like a side game where, you know, Deception and all that stuff, they had their own side games that were story mode. This is a story mode that's built into the fighting engine. This is the way fighting games should be doing things. If you played Injustice, you know, but if you haven't played the reboot of Mortal Kombat, they've ramped it up, and this is really what we need in fighting games. Street Fighter, as much of a story that it has, it does it really, it kind of does, but it doesn't. I would love to see Street Fighter, another one of my favorite fighting games, have a story mode like this. Unfortunately, I think NetherRealm has the market cornered on this, and I think more games need to do this. The game is full of everything. And if you're even remotely interested in Mortal Kombat, this is the game to play.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Street Fighter, because I have I'm a PR rep and all that. Mm-hmm. So I have to email, Ultra Street Fighter 4 for PS4 just got announced.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's coming out so quickly.
And I didn't put it on here because I was like, okay, it's a remaster. We don't need to talk about it. And, there was a lot of surprise releases this week, and I was just like, it's a remaster. We don't need to really talk about it. Anyways, we will be talking about a port later, but that's besides the point, because it's an actually new game. It's not, something that's been on PS3. But Street Fighter has kind of been on my mind lately, so I'm really interested to see how Street Fighter 5 does, especially now that it's exclusive to PS4, even though I'll probably play it on PS4 since it's exclusive, and that's kind of where I'm heading. It is, if it's exclusive, I'll play it on that system. If there's exclusive DLC, I don't fucking care. I don't care about exclusive DLC. Unless it's, really meaningful.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, if it's on PC, I'll play it. If it's on PS4 and it's exclusive, I'll play it. But I'm not going to be playing remasters anymore. I'm not going to be playing ports. I'm not going to be playing any of that shit. So when a game we're going to be talking about soon comes out, I'm probably going to be playing on PC rather than PS4. Because I'm actually going to build what I'm going to be calling Ragnarok, which I'll share the specs with you over Skype chat.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm really excited that you say that. You said it's the future, though. What's that about?
I think this is where we need to go with fighting games. I understand fighting game is for, you know, the esport community, which, fine, all that's well, all well and good, but if you want it to be really super successful and last for a lot of people, I think fighting games do, but you need something for the single player, and that's me. I don't get into fighting games like I used to when I was younger. I just don't have the time to really sit there and craft my, you know, oh my god, I'm so good with Blanka. You know, I don't have time to do that anymore. A story mode keeps me invested, and since I've been invested in Mortal Kombat story for 20 plus years, this is the absolute way I think Street Fighter needs to go. I mean, they're still building on this, building a story, but they just don't mention it very often. And I think this is what Street Fighter needs to look into doing. They need to have a story mode. This is what fighting games need to look into in the future. Just have your competitive modes, absolutely. Have your onlines, have your all that. But have a mode for story that keep people invested in talking about it rather than just saying, oh, did you see this match where this guy killed somebody with a hook and off the wall? It was crazy. Have people right. talk.
Well, I think it's even more curious that it kind of came out in March. Well, not March, April. Because for me, and I know this isn't talking about the story mode, but it's kind of relevant. I think fighting games should come out in the summer, because I feel, from my experience in high school, a lot of your customers are going to be in high school or even middle school. So they're like, I can't play this. I can't practice with Blanka, as you said. And I feel like they're kind of moving away from that, which I find really, really interesting, because, I mean, that's probably 80% of their audience, is it not?
I don't know if that's the case anymore. I think now, especially with these new systems, I think the audience is, you know, 25, 35 in that range. Obviously, there's crossover. There's kids and playing and all that. But Mortal Kombat 9 came out in April of 11, and that hit huge. That was the best-selling game at the time for Mortal Kombat, and now this one blew that out of the water. So I think they know their audience. You got to know their audience, and you also have to drop a game at the right time. Mortal Kombat's going to move things out of the way. Mortal Kombat's going to do what it did, but in the case of a game like Dying Light or something like that, you got to pick the right time. And Dying Light, I think, was a hit because it hit in January when there was nothing.
Yeah, it really had no competition, right, from what I'm aware.
It had nothing, and no one talked about the game that much, but people, it had been a month after Christmas, and people wanted something new. And the way people play games these days, they'll beat them in 2 days and move on. People don't stick with them like when I was a kid 20 years ago. They don't play games for a year. They play games for a week, and then they move on. There's just too right. much coming out between indies and AAA games to where if unless you're the type of person who just wants to stick with one game, you're going to move on real quick. And I think that was smart for Dying Light, and I think games like Mortal Kombat can pick their time, and they'll succeed. Games like Fallout can pick their time, they'll succeed. But a game that's not major, like Dying Light, definitely isn't, especially after Dead Island, how, you know, the bad press that got. Picking the right time creates a hit, because the game's good, from what I can tell. I haven't played it yet, I'm going to very soon. I have it, I just haven't had time. From everything I've watched gameplay, I've watched everything, if you have a good game and you pick a good time, you'll do all
right. Right, and I'm looking at my Xbox One smart glass. I'm not sponsored by Xbox, by the way.
Yeah, where are you, Microsoft? Let's get sponsored.
Yeah, let's get sponsored by Xbox. That'd be cool.
I'm Xbox for life, guys. Hook me up.
Drink that Doritos and Kool-Aid.
I'll drink the Dorito Mountain Dew all day. Are you kidding me?
The Xbox flavor Mountain Dew.
Absolutely. I'll take that circuitry in my body all day.
Yeah, but really all that's come out since from Mortal Kombat to now is just, I'm looking at Xbox One Smart Glass again. All we have is Goat Simulator, We Are Doomed, Assassin's Creed Chronicles, China, Dead or Alive 5 Last Round, which I thought already was out.
It did come out, but they added a whole bunch of DLC, which is not surprising since that's what they do.
Well, what's weird is that it's in the new games.
Yeah, I noticed that yesterday too. I don't know why that is. Maybe they had to take it off and re-release it. Maybe. It was glitched. It did have a bad glitch, so that might have been why.
Glitches.
Yeah, shocking.
And then today, Infinity Runner and Aru's Awakening? It's like Aru's with two A's?
Yeah, I think that's on PS4 as well. I think it's been out for a little bit for them.
Like April 7th or something. Anyways, I'm really interested in picking up Mortal Kombat. I'll probably pick it up for PC. Probably pick it up on my Steam sale. Because Mortal Kombat, the original, well, not the original, 9, is always on sale. And I'll probably buy that, and then maybe, go back to, like, Mortal Kombat 1 through 8 later. Because even though I've been playing Battlefront off and on again, I just want to play Star Wars Battlefront, the new one, which we'll actually talk about pretty soon. But just to run through some of the titles I've been playing Chompy Chomp Chomp, which is like a, if you can envision, it's like a cute little Pac-Man clone, but instead of like Pac-Man, the Pac-Man kind of character is kind of 3D, 2.5D kind of thing, where you're looking down on it at like sort of an angle, like a 15 degree angle. And I really don't get the rules to this. But it's basically, if you understand Pac-Man, you might understand this. They don't really explain it. I really wish that I could have played with my Xbox controller. I don't know why my computer didn't recognize that I could play with that controller, but
that happens sometimes. I don't know why that happens.
Well, I think it's due to the fact that they're just mimicking what the Xbox 360 controller did on PC and not actually creating new drivers for Xbox One.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you install Xbox One drivers, but they basically make it act as if it's a 360 controller.
It's weird.
Well, yeah, it's probably because people are still using the 360 controller when they're developing for Xbox.
That's true.
Because even with Smite, yeah, they have the Xbox One controllers, but they've got them plugged in, like they've got some special attunements to it. Then Commandos Beyond the Call of Duty, which is like a top-down game, like I know this is assuming, but I kind of expected a first-person shooter of this. It's more like an RTS. And I was like, oh. I guess I wasted my money.
Is it a Commando sequel? Because Commandos was an RTS game. Is it a sequel to one of those?
It might be. I didn't know there was a Commandos
game. Yeah, I wasn't into. I wasn't super into them, so they weren't on my radar. But I think I'm pretty sure that was an RTS in of itself for computer.
Yeah, I just kind of bought it on the off chance that it might be a parody of Call of Duty. Because,
like, how much did you pay for it?
I think it's like 17 cents.
Oh, well, there you go. Deal.
I mean, 17 cents. It's nothing. It's like I know PC users say this all the time, but it's pocket change. Like, because I've seen people buy $60 games on Steam, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, in 2 months it's going to go down to $8.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat X is like $50 on Steam right now.
See? There you go. Wait a week.
And then like The Witcher 3 pre-order is like $53, and I'm like, $7 savings.
Yep.
I might buy Witcher 3. I might actually be able to buy Witcher 3 if I get this job. Anyways, the big one is Remember Me, which I'm not too into that. Now that I've kind of seen the evolution of it in Life is Strange, but it's basically you can remix people's memories, and there's kind of like parkour, but it's really zoomed out, it's all third person, which it works for Assassin's Creed, but it does not work here, because it doesn't have a heads-up display, a HUD, so it just gives you these little arrows saying, hey, this is where you're gonna go.
Interesting.
So it's got a lot of that. It's got some Batman Arkham style combat, you know, like, they call it sensing combos, where it's like, you gotta press certain X or Y to get a certain combination that deals with this type of enemy. I'm not really too into the game. I just finished the first memory, and I think there's like 24 memories or something like that. I'm pretty sure it's a really long game. But I'm just kinda on a steampunk type of kick, so I figured I'd play it. I have been meaning to play this for a really long time. it's got some really motion blur type stuff, and it makes me sick. Like I said with Portal 2 last week, I don't like motion blur. I want an option to turn it off.
Oh, they don't even give you an option?
No.
Some games do that. I guess that's surprising.
It is very bare bones when it comes to option. I almost really just want to buy this on PC just to turn the motion blur off, because I fucking guarantee you that it has a way to turn off motion blur.
And if not, someone patched that in on their own.
Yeah. Like, I was actually looking up Battlefront mods so I could play local multiplayer. And they've patched in servers to where you can play local multiplayer on Battlefront. Anyways, yeah. Like I said, it's the predecessor to Life is Strange in the gameplay sense, and it's the same people. So this is very episodic too, but it's not like, oh, we release one episode this 2 months from now, and then you get this one, like, now.
Yeah.
It's not broken up like that. It's just a full game, like, kind of like Alan Wake, I guess. Like, they had 5 episodes in Alan Wake,
yep.
Which, Alan Wake 2, please come back to me.
They just announced yesterday, or early this morning, something like that, that they're talking to Microsoft for a remaster.
Yeah, I knew that's on the horizon. Anyways,
well, it was never officially announced. Now they announced it.
Oh,
it was just a rumor that they were doing it because Microsoft sent out that survey, and it was on there, but they never commented on it.
You know what's funny? I didn't get that survey, and I've filled out, like, 5 surveys on Halo Master Chief Collection.
Oh, damn, I got it. And I absolutely put down I want an Alan Wake remaster.
Yeah, I just saw, like, rumors of, hey, Alan Wake remaster is coming to Xbox One. I'll be like, but I've already played it.
Yeah, so they didn't announce it, and then last night or this morning, Remedy finally said, yes, we're talking to them, and we're really looking to do it. Hopefully we'll be able to do it. And then also that, you know, if Alan Wake 2 happens, it's not necessarily going to happen only on Microsoft.
Yeah, they said, like, someone like PlayStation. I know what you're talking about now. We won't talk about that because I was like, eh, that's kind of a feature article, and I didn't really know if it was really news. I mean, we knew an Alan Wake port was coming at some point. I mean, it had to, because people really liked Alan Wake. Now my question is, does American Nightmare make the jump?
I think if they make a remaster, I think it'll be included.
I don't know how I feel about that. I played a demo of American Nightmare. I haven't played the whole thing.
I liked
it. I played an hour, and I felt it's not really Alan Wake. It's more Quantum Break than it is Alan Wake, meaning that it's more fast-paced, and I'm like, no, I just want to give me a flashlight, give me a pistol.
Well, you get all that. You do. It's the same thing.
Well, but they have that horde mode.
Anyways, yeah.
And I'm like, no, get away from me. This is a horror game, not an action game. Anyways, last on my list is Forza Horizon 2 Presents Fast and Furious on Xbox 360. I played it on Xbox One, but 360, I couldn't get it past the first 5 minutes when I was like, oh my god, get this travesty away from
me. I literally started it yesterday on 360 because I played it on Xbox One. They look so different.
I didn't notice it at first, but, like, I just kind of excused it. Oh, hey, you have it's just a 360 game. It's supposed to look this way. And I was like, wait, I just qualified that.
Yeah.
And when I'm qualifying something, I'm like, but it does actually look pretty good for a 360 game. I wish it kind of looked more a little bit like Halo 4 on 360, but what can you do when you've got a secondary developer working on it?
It doesn't look bad, but when you're comparing the two, I mean, that's apples and oranges.
Yeah. So, let's finish up with you. You've got Jackbox Party Pack on here, and Grand Theft Auto 5 Heist.
Yeah.
Prison Heist.
Yeah. So, we'll do Grand Theft Auto, because that's a pretty quick one. Me and my cousin have been trying to get this Prison Heist beaten for a couple weeks, and we finally got it. We finally poked up with a couple people that weren't heads up their asses or just completely stupid. We finally got through it, and it was very, after a few tries, it was very exhilarating, I'll say that.
Alright. Yeah, and for those who don't know what you're talking about, I'm just gonna explain a little. So GTA Online has heists. If you didn't know that, you probably don't know what Grand Theft Auto V is, to be honest.
I don't know who doesn't know what heists are.
But the prison heist has you, I think, I saw this on Rooster Teeth, which is the only way I've been able to play heist in more recent days. But you gotta heists are really awesome. And like I said, it completes the GTA Online experience. It really does. Because you have to have a crew that you are comfortable with, because you gotta communicate. And with the prison heist, you basically have somebody, steal a bus, walk in as a prisoner, then you gotta shoot everyone in the prison besides this one guy. You gotta get that guy out, and then you gotta take the prison bus to the airport. Then you gotta leave the airport and get away unscathed.
Yes, all while three other people are doing three other things, and you all have to survive.
Yeah, people are getting that prison bus. People are getting that prisoner suit. And
people are getting that plane.
Yeah, people are getting all this stuff in one mission, so it takes like an hour or two.
It can, yeah.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, you even go inside the police station, which I don't think people know. That you can actually go in the police station and start shooting people in Grand Theft Auto V. I actually kind of miss Grand Theft Auto IV in that respect. You could go in anywhere, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, you could go into the hospital and be like, get on the ground, now! And that was kind of our heist until Online came out with heists. So anyways, I hear you talking about Jackbox Party Pack.
Do you know what that is?
I have it. Yeah, I have it.
Good. That's a good game. Good games.
Well, here's how I feel about that. I bought Fibbage. So I think you already know where I'm going with this.
Maybe.
I just wanted Fibbage XL as a part of an update. Because I had already bought it for $7. And then a week later, they say, Fibbage XL is coming to Jackbox Party Pack with 5 other games. I'm like, I don't want those other games. I mean, I've grown to like it, but I don't want to pay $25 just to get a game that I already paid for.
Well, I'll say this. Fibbage is incredible. It's either the first or second best game in that party pack. But Fibbage by itself was great. That was how I got introduced to all this stuff. I mean, I knew about Jackbox. I played the Jack, you don't know Jack games, and I love those games. So I bought Fibbage, no problem. Great game. But it's limited on content. With Jackbox, you get more of that, more of what you want, but you get other things with it, and they're so much fun. You can play them if you play. They're really fun if you're playing with the people in your house. And I was ambushed. Right. I was ambushed with a surprise birthday party this past weekend, which I'm not necessarily happy about, but it turned out pretty well. We played a whole bunch of this, and it's if you can get people to play with you at your house, the experience is great, especially if they get into it. But you can also play it on Twitch.
Yeah, that's the big part.
Yes.
Is you can play it on Twitch. There's one where I think it's called Lice Water, where you can play with 100 different people.
Yep.
And that's just... I even tried streaming it, and like two people came in and just like, play the fucking game. Just play it. I'm like, this is a party game. Don't you fucking realize? It's a party in the name.
Yep. I agree.
Do you not realize?
I agree. People, that's another thing with Twitch. You'll get two people in a room when a game is best with 8 people, and they'll be like, just play. Just fucking play it, man. You want to play it. Yeah. There's 3 people here.
Oh, and then when I tell them, hey, you probably should mention that in chat, that you just want me to play, or if you want me to play a specific game, tell me that, please.
Yep.
Because I check my the Twitch chat on my phone. Like, I can't really check it on my Xbox because it takes up 20% of the screen, which I wish it was more like Skype right now, because I see you in like 80% of the screen, and then me in the lower right hand corner.
Yep.
I wish it did that.
Yep.
Like where I could just have the Twitch chat in the lower right hand corner, just kind of like transparent and all that. But anyways, I don't have a problem with Jackbox Party Pack, other than the fact that I just want Fibbage for 25 for free, really.
Well, they added so much more to it, so, I mean, you're... I get what you're saying, but at the same time, they're throwing it in with a whole bunch of other stuff. I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's just I get kind of butthurt when it comes to that, when it's just like an update, really.
Yeah, I can understand that. But honestly, I think people need to look into this, because I don't think people... I don't know what their sales numbers are. I have no idea. They just got kickstarted. They just got funded for another game in the same vein. I forget what it's called. It's like Quibbage or Quibbles or something like that.
Let me look it up.
But I don't know what their monetary... Well, how many people bought this, but I think more people need to get on this. And it's a game where they're going to be more Twitch-friendly, more internet-friendly, because... If you don't know, you don't need a controller to play these games.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, you don't need a controller, you just need a phone or a computer or a tablet. Basically, you just connect to their website and you use your smart device or a web page on your PC to play the game. You just need a controller to set it up.
I've got the information for this new game. Quiplash is a witty party game. Designed with the same irreverence that made... Well, okay, I'm going to skip PR speak. I know it well. Up to 8 players compete against one another to improvise clever responses to open-ended questions like an alternate use for banana, something you'd be surprised to see a donkey do before turning into a group vote to determine the best and or funniest answers. It's going to be releasing in early summer of this year. But you can get involved right now by joining the Kickstarter campaign, which I'll look that up.
Which was funded.
Oh, it was funded.
Yes, I don't know. I don't remember what the platforms were, but I'm really hoping Xbox One was one of them.
It probably is. They make a lot of money on that. Because I don't hear as much people on PS4 saying, "Oh,
that's
true. I'm going to be playing Jackbox," or even on PC.
That's true.
PC is a tricky one with that, because you've already got a big screen. Like, I've got 2 monitors set up right now, and I could probably put Jackbox Party Pack on one screen and you on the other screen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'll probably play it, because it's actually a new game I haven't played. I'll probably pay whatever they want for it. I'll probably back them on Kickstarter or whatever, so I can get an early build. So let's move on to the headlines. I don't care if that is trademarked. I'm doing it.
You'll care when a lawyer comes sees you.
I don't care if Chris Roper comes out of the wilderness and just says, hey, stop using my shit. But first one, gotta adjust myself here. Not in that way, you sickos. Invisible Ink gets a PC release and PS4 version. So let's follow this link. If you want to open this link, you can too. So, Cly Entertainment, you might remember that name from, I think, but you might remember that from, I think, Mark of the Ninja, and other games such as that. But anyways, it's coming to, after 9 updates and 8 months in early access, Invisible Ink, which you might rather know as Incognita, is officially launching on May 12, 2015 with support for PC, Mac, Linux, and that's all on Steam, and a DRM-free option on their website. The game is best described as a stealth strategy game that calls comparisons to XCOM, Enemy Unknown, but with a James Bond kind of style. Throughout the game, you'll strategize your way through procedurally generated areas, deal with guards either directly or indirectly, meaning you could do stealthy or you could just shoot a guy in the head, and complete a certain objective. As a kind of celebration, Cly has also announced that it will be available on PS4, well, at least it's in development, but it doesn't have a set date for that. And you can look at screens if you want to. So, how do we feel about this? I know how I feel about it, because I wrote the article, but...
I mean, it's not really my kind of game. I mean, it's okay. I haven't played XCOM, and if they're from Mark of the Ninja, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think they're Mark of the Ninja. I honestly don't know. I haven't played a lot of their games, but I remember being really excited for Incognita, which this is what this is now. It's just it's just a different name because I think they got sued or something. I'm more excited to hear that it's coming on PS4 because, again, I just want to be able to trace where I'm able want to go. I just want to be able to trace. Just let me put down my finger and do that.
I will say this. What I like about their trailer is at the end of their trailer, when they're talking about when it's coming to PS4, they kind of give you a date, and then they change the date, and then they change it again. And then they're just like, oh, fuck it, we don't know. It's coming.
I didn't watch the trailer, so...
Yeah, the trailer at the end, it says PS4, it's coming spring 2015. It's coming winter 2015. Oh, it's coming spring 2016. And winter 2016. Fuck it, it's coming. Who knows?
fuck it. Yeah, but I'm going to play this on PC. This is one of the ones I'll play on PC and probably PS4. Because thankfully it's on Steam. Thank God.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard this, DRM free option. So you don't have to go through Steam. You can go through their website and just download the game straight. Like the however many megabytes this is. Because I guarantee you, this is probably not going to be a big game. It's not going to take up a lot of space. Then in sad news, EA is shutting down four free-to-play. Well, you can play if you want.
It ain't going to work, but they can try.
Free-to-play to titles in about 90 days. Since this article was posted about, subtract 4 days from that. So, the titles that are being shut down are as follows. Battlefield Heroes, Battlefield Play for Free, Need for Speed World, and FIFA World. But Star Wars The Old Republic, you'll note, has not been affected in any way.
They can't affect that. That's too big.
At least they're listening. That's what I'm getting from this, is that, hey, we don't want to play your games. We don't want to play Battlefield Play for Free. And I've played all of these games. I played FIFA World. I played Need for Speed World. I'm sad to see them go, yes. But I feel better knowing that they're listening, finally.
I didn't even know some of these still existed, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they've been out for 5 years now.
I played Battlefield Heroes when it first was announced way, way long time ago. But I never played any of the other ones. I didn't even know some of them existed, to be honest.
Well, I did, because I have Origin on my computer.
I unfortunately do too, but that's just for the free games, and plus I play some games on iPhone that or iPad that needs Origin.
Well, I have the first Dragon Age on there, so I go back. I really need to play Dragon Age. I really need to set it up to old TV and just set a keyboard and mouse on my lap and just play it on the big screen. Dragon Age Origins, that is. And I'll probably re-download Old Republic because I'm really, like I said last week, I'm really excited for Force Awakens, and when I get excited for something, I get fucking excited.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to talk about Age of Ultron, but I haven't seen it yet, so. And then next up, we got Project Cars. It's set for May 8th. Oh, God.
Are we sure? Are we sure this time?
Well, it's funny because the name of the article I did is Project Cars released it announced ... for real this time.
Yeah, I'll believe it when the game launches.
And this is kind of a problem for me. They announced it on Twitter. Email me, for God's sake. Because the problem I have with that is the way PR works is you send me a press release. I get it. It goes to the articles. Then the article gets published. You get free press. That's how it works. And maybe we work out a deal to see if we can't get a review copy. Maybe. Sometimes that just doesn't happen. Because with Guitar Hero Live, I had some semblance of assurance that, hey, yes, this is coming out this year. We know what we're doing here. Because they had a press release for Guitar Hero Live an hour before it was announced. So the main thing here is preparedness. let me know. Just let me know. I mean, this game has been delayed from November of 2014 to May 8th of 2015.
This game has been delayed about 100 times.
Yeah. I think 4 or 5 times, but still, that's a lot in this industry. A lot. I'm not going to bag on them too hard because it's kind of their first game. And get a title, please. Don't call it Project Cars. I don't like that. It feels too experimental. But I'll play it, probably. Depends on whether Forza 6 comes out on that day, which it probably most likely won't. Now that I think about it, because it's going to be at E3.
Because, Forza's coming out in fall.
Yeah, I think Forza's coming out, like, their first game. Like, kind of Forza 5 did. Then moving on, I know I'm kind of doing this rapid fire, but really, there's not a lot to talk about this week. So, Halo Spartan Strike is out right now. I had this on my E3 predictions list. I had to take it off, because I was like, because now it's available on Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, iOS devices, and Steam. Oh, yeah, it's not available on Android. For $6. It's set during Halo 2 on New Mombasa in 2552, and you play as a Spartan super soldier in a classified Oni simulation, which consists of 30 missions leading UNSC forces through cities and jungles with a new variety of weapons, abilities, and vehicles. Now, if you're playing on Windows 8 devices, you'll be able to play compete against your friends in weekly challenges and try to take that number one spot on the leaderboards, while earning achievements that unlock an emblem, nameplate, and avatar that can be used in Halo Master Chief Collection on the Xbox One. Now, they've also got Tom Salter back from Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo Spartan Assault, and Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary. They got him back. You can also purchase the Halo Spartan Bundle on your iPad, iPhone, or Steam for about $10. The game by itself is about $6, if that gives you any consolation. So, this is the stealth release of the week. It's kind of been happening a lot recently. I don't like it. Give me a press release, like I said. But hell, more Halo. Okay, fine. I kind of figured this was going to be one of the games that come out at E3, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were just going to drop it, be like, fuck it, Halo Spartan Strike is out now. But I'm actually really surprised by this. How do you feel?
I mean, it's Halo's not my thing, so I played the first one for a little bit. But if you like top-down games, I mean, it's not bad, don't get me wrong. I do kind of enjoy them, but it's Halo. So Halo's really not my thing. If you love Halo, you might get some traction out of it. But you have to me, it feels like you have to really love Halo to even care.
Yeah, and this is kind of a sequel to Spartan Assault.
Yeah.
So, and you got that free for Games with Gold. So it's just kind of there on my system right now. It's I didn't really like top-down shooters, so I'm probably not going to play this one. I don't like top-down shooters when it comes to Halo. I want first-person Halo. Give me first-person Halo or give me Halo Online, which, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's coming this year, by the way.
You'll get it.
And then, welcome back to Star Wars Battlefront. Woo-hoo, a train! So, yeah, this is one of the... I'll let you talk in a minute. I'm not trying to cut you off right
now. That's okay. But, Star Wars is your thing.
This is also one of the ones where I got it early. I knew what was happening prior to what we talked about last week. I knew about it. I couldn't talk about it, but I knew about it. I knew what was happening here, so I was just waiting to hit that publish button. I was waiting until they put the press release out. I was waiting until everyone saw it, and then I was like, okay, publish. Because I actually knew what was happening here. So that actually is really, really cool that I knew what was happening here. I have some stuff planned on this part for E3, but I'll let you know when we do our E3 episode. A lot less E3 talk. But anyways, it's coming out November 17th in North America, November 19th if you live in Europe. They put out a trailer, and it just looks great. Frostbite 3, you saw it in Dragon Age Inquisition, now it's in Star Wars Battlefront. And this is a quote from the senior producer of Star Wars Battlefront, Sigurlina. I can't say this name. Well, like so many others around the world, everyone at DICE is a tremendous fan of the Star Wars universe. To be working on a Star Wars project and knowing we are helping to represent the universe we love to our generation and a new legion of Star Wars fans is truly an honor. Thanks to the access and knowledge shared with us by Lucasfilm and the passion and talent of our team, we plan to deliver an amazing game that puts you right in the middle of Star Wars battles you always imagined playing. Now you'll be able to use the blasters from the movies, speeder bikes from the movies, snow speeders from the movies, like they're all their original models. They have like some made up word, photogrammetry, which you'll probably hear more and more about. But the more interesting thing, if you pre-order Star Wars Battlefront, which I don't recommend you do, because this is the first time we've even seen any kind of semblance of what the game will look like, which I have seen gameplay, but I can't talk about it. You can download the Battle of Jakku, which is being touted as a pivotal moment when the New Republic confronted key Imperial holdouts on a remote desert on the Outer Rim. This battle takes place after the Battle of Endor and will allow you to experience Jakku before the events of Star Wars The Force Awakens. This battle will be available for all those who pre-order on December 1st, but if you don't, you can still get it for free a week later, on December 8th. It will be available on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. On PC, you'll have to download Origin, but still available November 17th in North America. So how do you feel about this? I know how I feel about this.
I mean, it looked okay. I'm not really into Battlefront. I'm not really into Star Wars enough to want to play Battlefront again. I mean, from everyone I know who loves Star Wars, this was their first stop on the hype train. I'll tell you that right now. This is what everyone's been waiting for. Finally, EA's talking about it. We all knew it was coming out before the movie, so they kind of had to do that. But this whole download, this tie into the movie here, is exactly what I was expecting was going to happen. They have to tie it in somehow to the movie. And this seems to be the perfect way to do it. And it's free. So right. You can't really complain about that. It's free.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit surprised, because when I heard it, I was like, oh, sure, why not? Because I didn't really know a lot about Jakku until that trailer came out. Like, I knew they said, hey, it's going to be Force Awakens. It's going to be in Force Awakens. Just... we're telling you that now, but don't.
And you saw the aftermath of this battle in the trailer.
Yeah, you see the aftermath in the trailer, and whoop whoop, hype train.
You're home, Chewie. You're home.
Oh my! Don't even say that. I might start crying. I'm not even kidding you. I'm welling up just thinking about Star Wars again. Just thinking about it. Because it's like Han Solo said, Chewie, we're home. And I was just like, oh, don't you fucking say it. Don't you fucking say it. Because that just got to me. I'm a sweaty nerd when it comes to this stuff. Because I grew up with Star Wars. And I feel like I'm going to be able to pass this on to whoever kids I have, and just be like, look, Star Wars is great again. We don't talk about those prequels. We can talk about Attack of the Clones, but don't talk about the other ones. I just feel like a kid again. If I say any more, I'll start like choking up.
Breathe. get that paper bag going.
In other news, before I start crying, and I'm not trying to be like always fucking excited about Star Wars. But I really am. I just grew up with Star Wars, and it's finally being Star Wars again.
Listen, you don't have to apologize for anything, because I'll tell you this. When the Patriots won the Super Bowl, I cried my eyes out.
Yeah, we all have our little thing.
That's right.
So Heroes of the Storm gets a release date! Yes! I've been playing the closed beta of this, and I know I don't really talk about this a lot, because I don't really like to bother people with MOBAs. I don't like to talk about them. So Heroes of the Storm is coming June 2nd, 2015. June 2nd. Oh my gosh. Because here's the thing. Heroes of the Storm, it's like a MOBA, and it doesn't really have a lot of audience. But I've been trying to play this since I think January, and when it first went into alpha, and the alpha is, I can't put it really into words how great this news is, especially given that I think we're getting Overwatch the same year, around the same time, so this is just going to be a phenomenal year for Blizzard. And Heezy, if you want to play it, you can also play it without a code, without anything except for a BlizzNet launcher on May 19th. Open beta.
For anybody.
For anybody that has a PC. And let's be honest, any PC can run a Blizzard game. PC.
That's what they launch. That's what they hope for.
Well, I can play Diablo 3. I can play World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor. It runs like crap on my PC because my PC is a laptop, so. I mean, but still, it runs pretty damn well. So does Heroes of the Storm, which I get why Heroes of the Storm would kind of be better suited to lower PCs, because it's kind of just top down. You're not seeing everything up close. But,
yep. But, has particle effects, but they're not blowing your mind off.
Yeah, it's not like Unreal Engine 4 graphics.
Yeah.
They also announced they're going to have a launch event that's going to be live streamed on June 1st. So they'll have more details. And if you've been watching Heroes of the Dorm, which, yes, I know the wordplay. I get it. But the reason why it's called Heroes of the Dorm, because people from more than 400 schools, god damn it, across the United States and Canada are playing Heroes of the Storm for up to more than $450,000 in tuition and other prizes. They don't say what the other prizes are, but on April 26th, the final teams will face off at the Heroes of the Dorm Championship match, which will be hosted at the Shrine Auditorium and Expo Hall in Los Angeles, televised live in prime time on an ESPN network and also accessible via Watch ESPN, their app, basically. And no further wipes will be happening as of yesterday. No further wipes. They're not going to wipe your progress. All progress or purchases you made during closed beta will carry through to the open beta as well as post-launch. And now, if they need to make some modifications, your progress will not be wiped, but you'll be assigned the appropriate, quote-unquote, hero and or player level. And they thank you for your feedback on the game, because it's been a year of testing, and I'm sure they're glad that this is coming out.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add, or?
I'm not into those type of games, to be honest with you. MOBAs are really difficult for me to even think about.
Well, Heroes of the Storm grabbed me because, well. To be quite honest, I'll play the occasional Dota 2 match, but I have to learn so much stuff. And when I got the closed beta invitation, I was just like, "Oh, this is the perfect time. I'm not playing anything." And in June 2nd, I won't be playing anything. May 19th, I won't be playing anything. There's nothing. I won't be playing The Witcher.
You're not?
Probably not. I know I said I'll buy on PC, but probably after the fact. I don't know how I feel about The Witcher. I really want to marathon The Witcher 1, 2, and then go to 3. How I kind of want
to
do it.
You're going to have to start marathoning now if you really want to play it when it comes out.
Yeah. But that really is all Heroes of the Storm stuff. And you know more about this. Oh, I'm losing my voice. Yay, on interview day. Anyways, the last article we have is Mortal Kombat X patch 1.02 released. You know more about this because I don't see any patch notes for this. So you're going to have to...
Well, basically they updated certain things that were kind of messed up. Throws weren't connecting properly. You can if you're playing as Shinnok, you can control Goro's stomp. A bunch of things for Takeda. Something for Sub-Zero with his frozen clone. It's going to work properly now. But I'll say also with this, every update that they're adding something like this going forward, they said they're going to add a classic costume to it. So this one came out with Sub-Zero's costume.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention that. And somebody mentioned to me, hey, have you played the Living Tower for Mortal Kombat 1 yet?
I haven't played it yet, and you know what? I'm going to do that later on today.
Because I've seen this, and we talk about Mortal Kombat X a lot on this. But, you know, it's the hottest release. I mean, we really don't have anything else to talk about. If Deus Ex came out, I'd be talking up the wall about Deus Ex. I would be like, Deus Ex is here! It's here! I would just make this Deus Ex cast. I'd just talk about Deus Ex. But yeah, they basically have Reptile in the Living Tower if you get flawless victories. I don't know how Living Tower works, but basically I believe if you get a certain amount of flawless victories, you can unlock Mortal Kombat 1 edition of Reptile.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I just
I'm gonna have to try and get better.
Yeah. aren't we all? But that's it for the headlines. I really don't play Mortal Kombat X, so I don't really have a lot to add to that. Assassin's Creed Chronicles China is out now. Out now. You download it now. Right now.
Right this exact second.
Just turn off the podcast.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Assassin's Creed saying, get over here!
Get over here. Voice is kind of turning a little gruff. Anyways, it's out on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Notice, not Xbox 360, not PS4. There's no Assassin's Creed on the titles, except for, I think, Rogue.
Yep.
And then I think you're playing Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, probably.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free. We talked about it last week, but damn it, we're talking about it again. And so this is a digital-only title. It follows the protege of Ezio Auditore da Firenze. I always like to do that whenever I mention, like, a previous assassin, just Ezio Auditore da Firenze. Because everyone's like, Ezio. No, he's Italian. Ezio Auditore da Firenze. And da Firenze means of friends. Anyways, she's the protege of Ezio. It's in China, as it says, Assassin's Creed Chronicles China. It's a 2.5D side-scrolling platformer, kind of in the vein of, like we said, Mark of the Ninja. It's kind of like art house, kind of watercolor type thing. It costs nothing if you own the AC Unity season pass that is now non-existent. If that makes sense.
Makes sense to me.
Because basically what Ubisoft did is this was a part of the Unity season pass, but then they made all future DLC, which this was included as quote-unquote DLC, the same way Freedom Cry for Assassin's Creed 4 was. Even though this is kind of its own thing. It was kind of part of those season pass plans, so now you can just click install if you're on Xbox One. But if you don't own the season pass, fear not, you could still buy it. $10. Right price for me.
Now, do you need to own Unity to play this?
No, that's why I said...
okay.
It's a separate game.
Okay.
It installs, I think it's 2.5 gigabytes. Keeping in tune with the 2.5D stuff. It's really small. 2.5 gigabytes is nothing.
Yeah, now when you're comparing it to the 50 gigabytes, when you have to install a game now.
Yeah, GTA 5 is like 60 gigabytes now, so, ugh. And so is, I think Destiny's like 80 now.
Oh, Jesus.
Because, like, they have that 6 gigabyte patch that we talked about.
Better get those external hard drives going, guys.
Yeah, you really.
I'm really like, looking into it.
Consider 5 terabytes.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking into.
Because it's just like, what, the first 2 years, and we're already filling up hard drives. That's an excuse.
I've got to delete a whole bunch of shit that I don't want to delete just so I can play the new DLC for Evil Within, which really frustrates me.
Yeah, well, I don't really talk about DLC, but we can talk about it next week. Because DLC, in my opinion, isn't really... It's DLC. You have an hour or two with it, you review it. It's there. Next up, we have Trine 3, The Artifacts of Power on PC Early Access on Steam. Now, it's 3D for the first time. It does some little... I don't know why I said tweaking. I don't know what that means.
It tweaks. It's tweaking a whole bunch of stuff. He's got that eye twitch.
It basically tweaks. I think what I meant was tweaking the formula for Trine because it's kind of 3D now instead of like side scrolling or top down. And it comes with I know what it's under the early access tab. They're going to be tweaking. Okay, yep, they're going to be tweaking the game. Okay. I apologize for my... but they're going to make tweaks. It only comes with about 2 maps, so if you don't want to just play 2 maps, I wouldn't recommend it. But the full version's coming in the summer, so you don't have long to wait. They've got 3 heroes. Amadeus the Wizard. Amadeus. Pontius the Knight. And Zoya the Thief. So it's kind of similar to Heroes of the Storm, except for Heroes has like 30 heroes. But I imagine it's only going to have 3 heroes to, you know, kind of...
Are these the same 3 from the previous games?
I know nothing about Trine, so...
I think they might be.
They might. I'll look it up later when we're done with this. It's got single player, online, or offline co-op. Challenge levels, achievements... Controller support, which is probably going to be good for some people, even though I probably will play this with a keyboard and mouse. Trading cards, so you can kind of pawn them off, I guess, for Steam money. Oh, how far we have fallen. We trade virtual cards for virtual money for virtual games. Then if you want to mod the game, like put in your own character models, there is Steam Workshop support, so you can make your own. You can make Ezio. You can make us in the game.
Yeah, make me in the game, damn it.
Even though you don't know what we look like.
Oh, I'm all over the internet. You can find me.
Yeah.
Look me up. You'll find me.
I had a take in line ready for that, but I'm not going to do it. Anyways, it accesses Steam Cloud, so your saves are saved in the cloud. You can edit levels and stuff like that if you want to do that, and it's $20, although I'm a little skeptical of this release. Here's why. You'll notice on the notes I say no information on the system requirements. I went to the Steam page, nothing on Steam requirements other than you need Windows.
That's weird.
Yeah, so let me go to this Steam
page. I don't know if Trine typically had like hardcore needs, but even still.
Yeah, just like mention it, because we'll talk about Killing Floor 2 in a moment, but that at least says, hey, you need to have this requirements. I don't want to see Alienware Steam Machine. So Trine 3, let's look that up. Sorry for the dead air, guys, but it's...
I could fart if anyone needs it.
Yeah, fart. Fart. Oh, and you can apparently buy... They're doing a special promotion right now, so where it's $18. It's 10% off until April 28th. So buy. And you can also buy a 3-pack. I don't know why you'd want to buy a 3-pack. Maybe for co-op, I guess?
Well, yeah, people like to buy games with their friends on Steam.
Let's see. Oh, now they list the PC Steam requirements. Oh, my.
You were too early. Damn it.
Well, I made this on Monday, so I expected, it'll have the Steam requirements. So here's the system requirements. You need to have Windows 8, 7, or Vista. So basically anything in the last 5 to 10 years.
Vista. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go into Vista. For a processor, you need an i3, i5, or an i7 2.0 GHz CPU dual core, or a 3.0 GHz AMD CPU. 3.0 AMD CPU? What is that about? 2 GHz for Intel, and then 3 for AMD? Whatever. Four gigabytes of RAM, a GeForce 260, or Radeon HD 4000, DirectX 10, broadband internet, hard drive, you need to have 4 gigabytes. 4 gigabytes? Holy shit. That's just minimum requirements. If you want to, like, max the game out, you still need Windows 8, 7, Vista, quad core, over 3.4 gigahertz?
Where are you going to get Vista to work on all that?
Yeah. Who knows? Over 3 to 4 gigahertz dual core? What is that? Who even uses dual core anymore? Even my computer has quad core. And it's 1.7 gigahertz.
See, I know. They're getting the low specs in there. They want everyone to play.
8 gigabytes of RAM, which is actually really surprising because that's not commonly used. Yeah. A GTX 750 Ti 2 gigabyte. Wow, that's actually a really raised bump. Radeon R9 270 2GB, DirectX 10, broadband internet, and 4GB of available space. So, the requirements are really awful for that because, I mean, to max this game out, you need to build a computer.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate because I really wanted to play Trine 1, 2, and 3. Because, I don't know if I mentioned this before to you, but I like to play the entire trilogy if it's out.
I do. I feel the same way.
Like, with The Witcher 3, I want to play Witcher 1 and 2 to get that story. For Trine, I just want to be able to see where it's been. But anyways, let's move on. Killing Floor 2 for PC, also early access, but they reference it as a quote-unquote polished beta. So it's gonna have some bugs. It's not quite finished since early access, you know. But polished beta just means, hey, we got some bugs, but
let us know and we'll fix them.
Yeah, so what this game is, it's real gory. So like even more so than Mortal Kombat X. Mortal Kombat X is just like really up in your face. This is like blood spurting out of every orifice.
We love it.
This is like a Postal 2. Kinda. It got 6-player co-op. AI doesn't really scale necessarily. They learn from your tactics. Kind of. Kinda like,
Fear.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the Xbox One term. Like Drivatars and Forza. Kind of like that. They take your behavior and put them into AI. And then you got perks tuned to your playstyle. Brutal combat, like I said, it's just brutal. There is an SDK available. I don't know how useful that's going to be. But you can have an SDK. You can have it. in middle of the road requirements. So, that meaning that it's not really demanding. I figure I'm not going to go really into it, but it costs $30, and for a polished beta, I know how some people feel about early access, but you're not paying for the beta, you're paying for the game. That's what you really are paying for. I know people criticize that motif, but it's here, and it's happening.
Now, let me ask you, with early access games, I don't know too much about them. If you pay that $30, do you get the game when it finally releases?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get the game, you get all versions that are out on Steam.
Okay, good. Then I can kind of live with it a little bit more.
Yeah, you're basically saying, it's basically like a pre-order, essentially, except for instead of like just having a game there with extra DLC that you don't want, it's just saying, hey, help us make the game.
Yeah.
We don't have all the QA testers in the world. Just test our game and you get the game free, basically. Quote-unquote free.
Yeah.
I know it's $30, and I know it's coming to PS4 soon-ish. Probably when Killing Floor 2 is out for a few months, and then they can kind of ride that PC train. And anyways, that's all we have for this week. So, let's do the outro. So, social networks. You can find the podcast at Belated Tech Show on Twitter. My Twitter is Austin Belzer, at Austin Belzer. My Instagram, if you like photos and stuff occasionally, at Austin Belzer as well, all lowercase. The podcast email is bladedtech@provengamer.com. Again, bladedtech@provengamer.com. Like Blade Tech. bladedtech@provengamer.com. And like I said in the beginning of the show, you can send a voicemail on provengamer.com, and my boss, I forget his name, Tricky Mick, Mike, will send me an email saying, hey, somebody left you a voicemail. It goes through SpeakPipe, so it's going to be recorded. I'll get it. You'll hear it on the show, possibly, if we can figure that out. Because we'd love to hear what you have to say about the show.
Yeah, I want to hear how great I am.
Yeah. Hear how supreme we are. And then Chris, plug away.
That's right. So you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Heazie, H-E-A-Z-I-E. Same thing with YouTube and Twitch. YouTube, I do a lot of gaming stuff. I put game videos up. Twitch, obviously, we all know what Twitch is. YouTube, I put other things up as well. I do Oreos sometimes. I'll do one this week for the new ones. Oreos, yep.
Okay.
So, cotton candy Oreos, man. Gotta have them.
Yeah, you gotta have Oreo oration.
That's right.
So, I do believe that is the Bladed Tech Show number 36, The Pun Night. And with that, we are out. Like Audi 5000.
50,000.
Bye-bye now.